continue on with Romans 6 and the truth that it's presenting to us. John chapter 17. And if the Japanese students have their New Testaments, they can turn to the John 17 too. It would be right where they could read it. This is the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane or near it. We know he prayed this prayer before his being captured by the Roman soldiers. And the greatest prayer in Scripture is John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, or you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. We have been speaking in these last few Sunday mornings about the fact that the greatest terror and horror of sin is not that one goes to hell, as terrible as that is. The devil and the angels were the ones for whom God created hell. It was never purposely, originally created for men. But when the devil and his angels fell away from God and were in revolt against him, then God created this place of punishment, and there the devil and his angels will go. Men who follow the devil and do their own thing and live their own life apart from Jesus Christ will end up in that same fate. But that's not God's primary design for you. That's not God's first plan. Scripture says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the beauty of his plan. And what happened was that when we sinned, we disconnected the opportunity to be connected with the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short and fallen short and missed the beauty of his plan to have the glory of God in them. No man was born with the glory of God in him. He was born with the glory of man in him, the glory of human creation in him, and only secondarily as one saw what God could do by creating a man. But the glory of God is what God is and what God can do. And God's chief and original and continuing plan to this hour, and will be his plan throughout all eternity, is that he wants to put in us his life. So that every human being who lives without the life and glory of God in him is living a subhuman existence. Because the original plan of beauty continues to this very hour, that God wants to put his life in you. And that's the beauty of his plan. That's why sin is so terrible. Yes, it ends a man up in hell. But the greater tragedy is what he could have been. He could have had the life of God in him. He could have had the glory of God in him. And so all of us now, seeing that we are vessels and containers, are to be recipients of the life of God, and then glory begins to come out of our life. Christ came to earth as the Son of God. This stands for the Son of God, deity. By a choice of his own free will with the Father and the Holy Spirit, he joined himself with a total human nature body, just like yours and mine, and the Son of God also became the Son of Man. Now, here we have Jesus praying. Jesus is God. Well, God can't pray to God. Why would God pray to God? Every prayer Jesus ever prayed, he prayed as a man. Totally dependent on the Father. Jesus had to obey all the principles of answered prayer, just like you and I do, to have his prayers answered. He was not exempt from the principles of prayer when he prayed, because as God, he would not pray to God. He was God, the Son. Well, then how did he pray? He prayed as the Son of Man, all that man should be, locked in with all that God is. He lived as a man under the power of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Father. And so, as a man, he prays to the Father in heaven like you and I pray to the Father in heaven. And that's why he prays this great magnificent prayer. He lifted up his eyes to the heavens and he said, Father, The hour has come. Glorify the Son. Now, wait a minute. As God the Son, you can't put any more glory in God. God can't be any more glorified. Christ the Son is total and complete. You can't add anything to him. Well, then what's he saying? Now, Father, glorify the Son. Because as the Son of Man, into his human nature, into his human vessel, his body, there could be additional glory added to his humanity. And he comes right up to God and gives us this great prayer that we've been talking about. Now, Father, pour into this human vessel, as the Son of Man, your life, your glory. Glorify the Son. Put your life in here. Let it come, Father, your indwelling life. Let it be there. And everything God the Son, Jesus, did was not in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in the power of his plans and prerogatives and power as God the Son in deity. It was done as God the Son, but the Son of Man. Dependent upon the indwelling Father. I can do nothing except what the Father shows me. The words I give you, the Father gave me. What I see the Father do, I do. That, as a man with the indwelling God, now he says that's how you and I are to live and can live. Glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Do you see that? What he's saying is this. Father, the only glory you're going to get out of me is the glory you put into me. And that from the lips of the most perfect human being that ever lived. And he once and for all shows the great dividing line, the great demarcation between what a man can have by virtue of human birth, that it's inferior to and below the life and the glory of God. And the Son of Man comes with a perfect human body, perfect human being, and says, put into me your life, God, so I can glorify you. Why, he of all men could have said, hey, I can bring glory to God on my own hook. I can do it myself. And he teaches us this great lesson. You come right up to the Father and you say, Father, glorify me, put your glory and your life into me, and abide in me, Father. And then the glory you get out of me will be the glory you put into me. His life in, his life out. That's how it's to be. If it isn't his life in, his life can't come out. It'll still be just human life down here below the glory level. So when we get above the glory level, we want to abide in Christ there. When we come over and get converted, we're into the land of glory. We're into the person of glory. And the person of glory comes into us. Now, where are you living today? All kinds of glory above this line. There's no quitting place. There's no stopping place above this line. The glory of joy. Ruth told of those poor folks down there trying to bury their sorrow in a bottle. There's no joy beyond the grave. What's beyond the grave for them? Even if they know of it, it's too late for some, you see. The joy and the glory of joy. The glory of thankfulness. There can be everything. Everything that God has in him, God is joyful. God is thankful. He's thankful he exists. He ought to. God has a perfect right to be thankful he exists, because how would this place be without a God like him? Suppose you had a tyrannical God like the gods of Greek mythology. At a whim, they'd wipe you out. He's thankful, and I'm thankful that he is like he is. Are you grateful? Are you thankful? Expressing your praise to Christ for everything he's done for us. He's given us mercy so much we can't even find them in our thankfulness. We're just snowed with them that we just take them for granted. The mercy of and the glory of honesty. And I want to share something with you. It's been on my mind for several months. It's not just a recent thing. The glory of honesty. You know, dear Christian brother, sister, we live in a day of credit cards and accounts, this type of thing. And all right for that. But if you owe some brother or Christian money, you should pay them. You pay OPPD, power company, gas company. And if you don't have money right now, you should go and make an agreement with them that you'll pay them $2 a week or $1 a week or $10 a month. You pay them something. Because one of the worst testimonies evangelical Christians can have is to pay all their bills, not pay their brother Christian to whom they owe money. I don't care whether in this church or outside this church. There are unbelievers that work with these people, and they know if you don't pay your bills. They know you're paying other bills. And the unbeliever says, yeah, I'm one of those hypocrites from the church. And so, dear ones, I trust that if you owe people money, you're paying them something and have an understanding with them. If you can't pay them, go and have an agreement with them. I don't know any place I've been in dealing and helping people that some type of agreement is always acceptable to the one to whom money is owed. Certainly you can have things go wrong and things come up. But you don't just cut off paying your brother, sister, Christian. You make sure there's an agreement or give them something, that the cause of Christ will not be tarnished in the eyes of the unbelievers and by them as well. Let's say, well, this man is taking advantage of me just because I'm a Christian. He doesn't pay me, but he pays all the unbelievers off. You see, brother, sister? That's part of the glory of God. Didn't think so. But God owes no man anything. God's paid all his debts. In fact, he picked up my debt of sin, your debt of sin. He picked up the debt. Jesus paid it all to him I owe, and he didn't owe it. I owed it. You see? The glory of a caring heart. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to care about people when before you didn't care. The glory of a caring heart. The glory of spiritual courage, if you're down in the university, on the job, to be able to say, oh, yes, I love the Lord. Isn't the Lord wonderful? It takes courage sometimes when they look at you. Yeah, expect it. The servant is not above his master. If they hated me, Jesus said, they'll hate you. If they love me, they'll love you. They'll find God in you. Glorify me, Father. Put your life in so your life can come out. If his life doesn't come in, there's nothing of God coming out. There might be Murdoch coming out, but it won't be God coming out. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. Now, in the original, the emphasis is on I. I have glorified thee. As though he was saying, and he was right, I and no one else has ever glorified you in the way that I am and have and will. Listen, that's why you're on earth. Why do you think you're on earth? The great philosophical questions that have rattled down through the academic halls for years. Why am I here? I have glorified thee on earth. You are a human vessel to receive God's life in, to give glory back up to God in service and money and kindness and prayers and meals for the sick and visits on the weary and whatever God puts in our hand to do in evangelism and outreach. That's why you're on earth. And that's why all these human beings swirling around their Corvettes and the five people that drive Rolls Royces in this city, they think that's where it's at. That's not why you're here. You're here on earth to glorify God. And that happens when Christ comes in as Lord and Master and you begin to find the purpose for which you were created. Suicide is not an option when Christ is Lord and Master. You found why in life. We don't have all the answers to everything. Nobody does. But we have the most basic answers in Jesus. I have glorified thee on earth. Listen, only man has a choice of whether he will glorify God or not. The sunset doesn't. The skies don't. The waving head of the little white daisy, these little things are going to glorify God regardless. They just prop up and glorify God. And sunsets come and go and glorify God. And rain comes and goes. It has no choice about glorifying God. It speaks his power. It speaks his creation. Only man has the opportunity of deciding, will I glorify God or will I live to please me? You see? I have glorified thee on earth, the very place where God was robbed of his glory. The very place where the first Adam fell, Jesus comes back and steps right into where defeat was rampant and said, I'm the second Adam. I'm the founder of the next race that loves God. I have glorified thee on earth. The same earth you had. He lived in a little village. He glorified God in a little village. He lived in Capernaum, a good-sized city. He glorified God in a good-sized city. He goes down to Jerusalem, the capital. He glorifies God in the capital. He glorifies God in the temple. He glorifies God on the seashore. He glorifies God. So wherever you've been, he was a carpenter. He knew the pressures of the union trade, or at least unhappy customers. He's been there. I have glorified thee on earth. And only three of those years were spent in public ministry, so that the rest of his life he could still say, I glorified God in the home. I glorified God as a child growing up in my home. I obeyed my father and my mother. I glorified God as a teenager. I pleased him. No matter what your state in life may be, Jesus has already been there. And that life that he lived victoriously through all the circumstances and the pressures, he fought off demons, he healed the sick, He was misunderstood and rejected. He was given a kangaroo court and thrown on a cross. That same Jesus, that life, now moves into me. It's been pre-tested. It's pre-tested life. It's come through. It's been adakios. It's approved. And he's moving in. And everything that'll face you and me has been pre-tested by the one who has now moved into you and me, Jesus Christ. And he's come through. And if I let him come through, it's just the second time around for him. He's already been there. That's why we've been saying, if you abide in Christ, make him your dwelling, abiding place. Seeing that you died with him and were crucified with him and raised with him and seated with him, if you see that you are in Christ, then and he's in you and you're in him, then you draw on him. And you face these circumstances in life of unkind people and rip-off artists and all kinds of things. Lord, I can't be Christ-like to this man. You can. You are in me. Thank you, Lord. You will be yourself in my response to the situation. I can't. You can. You're in me. Thank you, Lord. You're doing it. It's an act of faith moment by moment as you need that. Abiding there. If we get blown off that position, then we act like ourselves. We're sub-glory, sub-human, sub-supernatural plan for you. But if we abide in there like a tree by a river, planted by the rivers of water, we'll bring forth the fruit in due season. It's right there. Not some life I've got to try and prime up to live out. There is nothing of that. Father, glorify me with your own life, that I may glorify you. Do you see that? No place for superiority, no place for inferiority, no place for pride. Say, my, wasn't that a marvelous sermon? Well, glory to Jesus. My, so-and-so got healed and so-and-so prayed for him. Glory to Jesus. Do you see that? If you have a problem with pride, no more problems. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He gets the glory, so we don't have to worry about it. Don't try and get a 10% markdown. Just give it to Jesus. It's his. He did it. He gets the glory. I've glorified thee on earth where man failed. I've glorified thee on earth where all the men seek their glory. I've glorified thee on earth. Listen, if you're going to glorify God on earth, you better start in, because in heaven, you won't have any more opportunities to glorify God to sinners. In heaven, there are no more offerings. In heaven, there are no more faith pledges. In heaven, you won't have a chance to witness to anybody anymore. They're all saved up there. In heaven, you won't be praying for the lost. In heaven, there is no self-sacrifice or giving up of anything. That's to be done on earth. No more pain or cost or trouble in heaven. That's here on earth. I have glorified thee on earth. This nasty now and now. No opportunity in heaven because it passed it. We go, that's right. You know the beer ad says you want to go through what's it, go around once? Therefore you got to get all the gusto you got to get or whatever. That's not true. You go around twice and the second time is forever. For them, that's right, you only go around once. That's all they know. What they don't know is you're going to go around the second time in eternity forever. Now, for whatever we're going to do and serve Jesus Christ here, we do it now. No one's passing out tracts in heaven. You see? Jesus said, I've glorified thee on earth, in your classroom, in your home, or the cantankerous neighbor, or the sweet neighbor that you just think, well, they're a nice person, and never realize you've been there 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and your neighbors don't even know the things of Christ that we know that much of. And they're our missionary field. Just as surely as El Carmen and Mexico City and all over Europe. Dear ones, that's the joy of this thing. Look at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with your own self. That's how God glorifies people. He puts his own self into people. Christ now comes to live within us, and God has put his glory on Christ. Christ comes into us with his glory, and we live off that life. That's why it's necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we might be baptized with the fullness of that life. That's why we need the gifts of the Spirit, which is what God can do, something of what he can do, the supernatural gifts of God. We need the graces of the Spirit. That's what God is like, the fruits of the Spirit, plus everything more. And we abide there like a tree, drawing on that. Glorify thou me with thine own self. And that's what he gives us. Not a gift, he gives us himself, the superior gift. And then please look at one last verse. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Do you hear that? Jesus says, the kind of relationship I had with my Father, I'm asking God to set up so he can have the same relationship with you. That could not be as the Son of God and deity. We're not God. That's circle one. The Son of Man, circle two, put together. Father, the relationship that you and I have together, I want, and I've shown men by living it out, by indwelling you, and I'm praying that you who have given me your glory and put into my humanity and given us a oneness together this way, this will happen with men and women on earth when I leave who love me. And that when you move in, they will see that you moved in not just to give eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah for that. It was to bring them into the glory union so that now the oneness that we had will be had by them with us. I'll be in them. You'll be in them and they in you. And we'll have that same unity of understanding and life and impartation of his life, wisdom, patience, peace, kindness, generosity, name it. It's all drawn from the store and the barrel of his great generosity. His life moved in. And we, by faith, living there and letting it move out. That's what Paul said, I preach and labor and teach, warning and teaching every man that I may present every man mature in Christ, which is Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope and manifestation of eternal glory. So when I see Christ coming out of you, I see Christ moving through some of you, I say, praise God, there's Jesus living on through that person. There's Christ coming out there. That reaction was Christ-like. What a precious thing. Christ coming through, one with the Father. Now, if you don't think that's missionary, if you don't think that's missionary, that oneness, look at verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world, that Mexico may believe, that Europe may believe, that Omaha may believe, that thou hast sent me. The oneness in the first line of verse 21 produces the capacity, making it easy to believe, for the world to believe, in the last line of verse 21. And look what it does, verse 23, I, the Lord Jesus, in them, my people, and thou, God, in me, so you've got the Father and the Son in you, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast indeed sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How important is this union with Christ? Everything, everything, everything. It touches our own quality of Christian life here. It touches the perimeters of the world. It touches Omaha. Now do you see why you should be filled with the Spirit? Now do you see why he says, Lord, teach me to abide in you and your words in me, that whatsoever we ask, it's done because we're in living union and agreement. Your will becomes mine, and I see it, and I ask and receive for your glory. Let us pray. Dear ones out there, I don't know where you're living. I don't know if you know or not, but you can know whether Christ has ever come into your heart or not, that you ever invited the Lord Jesus to come in and be your forgiveness and your Savior and Master, and that he in turn should become the source, the mainspring of your life. If you're living below that level, you're missing the beauty of His plan for you. You're missing the very purpose of His coming, that you should be a Christian and give your life to Christ, inviting Him in as Master. Then He becomes the glory of your life. What God is and what He's like, what He can do and what He's like, moves into your life, and Christ becomes your Master and your life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, Scripture says, then shall we appear with Him in glory. Now, dear ones, where are you? You can be in Christ today by repenting and saying, Lord, I'm like an empty styrofoam foam cup. Come and pour your life water in. That's what it means to repent and believe. And when you give yourself to Him as an empty vessel, He pours Himself into you and will live in you, and you become a child of God. That is becoming a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing instead of. In just a moment, we're going to sing. I want Brother Mick to come and be prepared to lead us. And just as I am, without one plea, if Brother Mick will come up, we're going to give an invitation for those who've never done this. Dear ones, how long will you continue empty? Empty of eternal things. I did not say color TV and new divan and new secondhand car that you got. Of course you're not empty of those things. Dinner's at home waiting for you in a few minutes. Kind friends that you have, good job tomorrow. Things look pink and rosy. But that's not the main purpose you're here. You're here to be a glory container. And that only comes when Christ, the King of Glory, comes in. Now, why don't you just transfer the deed? Why don't you just transfer the title of your life over to Him? For you are not your own. You are bought with a price. And now you're going to come and say, Lord Jesus, I do want to give myself to you. I see that's the glory of your plan. That's why I'm on earth. And I give myself to you today, believing you're going to come into me and abide in me and live in me. And I'm going to live in you. And life is going to come up to the glory level. And I'm going to learn how to get rooted there. Some of you have made a start in giving your hearts to Christ. And this is a little step farther from you. You've never been filled with the Spirit of God. You better start, dear one. The Word of God's here. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's not an option. It's not a wish. That's a command from God. And the provision is in Christ, and the order is here. And then when we get filled with the Spirit, we're going to go on from there too. But that may be new, but God has that for you, that the more glory He puts in, the more glory He gets out. The more life in, the more life out. Otherwise, He's reduced to just nothing if He can't live in you. He'll live in someone else then. And you'll be left to your own way, in your own human power, in your own human plans, which will dry up like a grain of corn and blow away someday. When He intended for you to be a container of His life. So you stand quietly, please, right where we are. And we're going to sing, and if those of you who want to give your heart to Christ, I'll ask the elders to come down now, please, and stand right here in the front. And those of you who need to give your heart and want to give your heart to Christ and should and been thinking about it, this is the hour for you that God may have His glory and that you may come to repentance and faith and your sins wiped out and you start anew in Him as we sing together right here. Just as I am without one thee, thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. The hymn says, I come, not I go. I come. What do you have in your hand that will be worth anything 100 years from right now, 50 years from right now? What glory do you have that will be worth anything 10 years, 15, 20 years right from now, 100 years from now? What will be glorious? What will be glorious 100 years from this morning? If you say Christ and He's in me, you're right. And if you can say Christ but He's not in me, you're still right, but you're on the right track. 100 years from now, that's what's important now. And if Christ hasn't come in as your Lord and Master, now is the time to do that. Will you keep the King of Glory waiting? If the President called, said, come to the White House, you say, well, in 5 years, maybe. No, I'm not going to extend this out, but you've been sitting here, many of you, for weeks now. and you know God's spoken to you, and you know there's no glory in your life, it's just the glory of a man, the glory of your own macho, the glory of whatever you want to do, when Christ, the King of Glory, condescendingly waits for you, and this morning should be the hour you give yourself to Him. Honestly, you should. Can you give me one reason why you shouldn't? Can you give me one reason? There are no reasons, only excuses. Every step toward God is man coming to his proper promotion in God. Every time you turn away from God, it's man falling back, subhuman, sub below the level God has for you. We're going to sing the next stanza, and we're going to ask God to move in your heart. We're going to pray for us. Now, Lord Jesus, agree with me, Christians. Lord Jesus, we plead your great blood over this auditorium. We plead your magnificent, liberating, sanctifying, glorifying name. The Lord set people free to respond to you now. Not to me, not to a sermon, to the Lord Jesus, whom they will shortly stand before forever. Now, Lord, let them just walk right up to you, in Jesus' name, as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Sing one more stanza. If no one comes, we're through.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that
dear one, the very point of your life where it's so hard and irritable and so bony and so difficult is because there's no glory of God there. That situation, that person, it just seems like it's overwhelming to you, is because the glory of God's not there. You need the life of Christ to issue forth into that area. You need to come this morning and say, Lord, here's my problem. Here's my sin. Now, I want forgiveness and put your glory back in that place right there. I'm believing you to be manifesting your glory right there. Whether it's your husband or wife, or your job, your finances, you're going to make any change God wants, and then His glory comes in that spot, beginning with forgiveness of sins and going all the way through the rest of your Christian life. The glory of God. His life manifested at that spot. And we're going to sing if no one comes, we're through, but if you're a child of God out there and there's some empty glory spots, there should be the life of God abiding there, and God's made it a point to you, not me, God has. You're coming this morning and say, Lord, you should be getting glory right there. I believe your victory and your glory right there. I'm in you, you're in me. Then come through me and come through yourself right at that point, and I name it, thus and thus and thus. Say, it's hard. So was Calvary. It wasn't a picnic. But glory is our portion as His original plan as we sing this next stanza.
Just as I am without, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Close in prayer. There are those who have come. Elders, you'll be prepared to help them. If you didn't come and you know you should, you can still come while we pray. We'll be meeting back again tonight at 6 o'clock, showing a film on the Bible school and the work in Mexico. Be hearing again from the Martinez's. Also, we'll continue with some church history to help us show living history. Tonight, wouldn't you know, would be right in the journeys of Paul those missionary journeys, so it all ties in together. Don't miss it. You'll be here. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. You are Lord. We thank you for any glory we see in this life, any glory we see in nature, any glory we see in people. This true glory is Christ given and God implanted. When on the frail shell of our earthly frame becomes dust, they will still be glory in our immortal souls, glorified by Jesus, awaiting that glorified body that we may glorify God forever. Fulfillment of every capacity God given. Unending, eternal fulfillment. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Starting now and continuing there forever. Now unto Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, be praise and honor forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you back tonight.